I always like to thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to come up here. We have a lot of great ministers here, and I'm humbled every time he asks for my assistance to share with you. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and it reads as follows. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." Verse 37, I love this verse. "For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, God, we ask you to take this familiar story, Lord, this familiar passage of Scripture, Lord, and breathe new life into it, Lord. We ask you to grant us new eyes, Lord. As we enter into this holiday season, Lord, as we enter into the season of Advent, Lord, this busy, busy season, Lord, God, we pray that you would allow yourself to be known, Lord, your presence to be felt, Lord, as we study your word, Lord. We ask you to soften our hearts, Lord, and allow us to give you permission to interrupt our lives, Lord, to interrupt our plans, because we know that your ways are higher than ours. Your plans are greater than ours, Lord. We lift you up. We give you praise. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about birthing the unexpected. Birthing the unexpected. And so a little interruption in my sermon series. I've been doing this series of sermons on superheroes, and I know people were asking me what action figure do I have for today. And so I brought in some old school action figures of the nativity type. And I just love this time of year. I know that Christmas means different things to different people. And I don't know what the exact signals are for you that Christmas is on the way. Maybe it's for you, it's the poinsettias start to come out. Maybe it is the baking, you know, the cookies and the cakes and the smells of the season. Maybe it's, you know, eggnog. Maybe it's putting up the Christmas tree. Maybe it's putting up the lights. Maybe it is watching It's a Wonderful Life. Maybe if they're at my house, maybe it's watching one of those Hallmark movies, one of those Lifetime movies, where the girl always gets the guy and the situation always works out and there's always a happy ending. Maybe that's what Christmas looks like for you. Maybe it's putting up the nativity scene, you know, and this is our nativity scene from our house. And, you know, we have this picture perfect idea of what Christmas is supposed to look like. And it looks like this. I mean, this looks like a Christmas card to me. The problem is that in Christmas cards, nobody ever sweats. You ever notice that? Nobody's ever dirty. The babies are always clean. Nobody's nagging. Nobody's fighting. Nobody's arguing. The animals are all perfectly in place. You know, and everything's just perfect, right? But in reality, life doesn't always quite look like this. Okay? And so the big idea is this. Life doesn't always go as we expect. We could probably put a period there, but life doesn't always go as we expect, but God always has a plan bigger than our expectations. Isn't that good news, brothers and sisters? That God always has a plan bigger than our expectations. How many could raise your hand and said, life has gone exactly as you expected? Go ahead, throw them up. Don't all do it at once. Okay, we got one, we got two, anybody else, three? You guys should get together and write a book, okay? That's probably what you guys should do. Life has gone exactly as expected. That's wonderful. But for most of us, life doesn't go as expected, right? Amen? Nobody? All right. And so the question that we're going to deal with here is the big question. You can see the question is, do you plan to have a Merry Christmas this year? A little play on words. Do you plan to have a Merry Christmas this year? And the idea is that Mary is someone that in the Protestant church, I'm a little embarrassed as a Baptist, that we don't spend very much time talking about Mary. Have you noticed that? We kind of feel like the Catholics have a lock on our girl Mary here. Because, you know, they've kind of made her like a sort of co-Messiah, co-Savior type person. People worship her. And so since we're so uncomfortable about Mary, we never talk about Mary in the church. But Mary has to be, outside of Jesus, has to be probably the most important person in the Christmas story. But we never talk about her. And she's super, super important. And so we're going to spend some time talking about Mary and figuring out what does it take to have a Merry Christmas this year. Okay. I wrote down this quote here just to show you there are no hard feelings between me and the Catholics from a Catholic priest. And I just thought it was a great quote, a great little reminder. He's a Catholic priest here. And he says, I used to think that interruptions got in the way of my work until I realized that the interruptions were my work. So many times we have this plan, we kind of have this idea. I think Pastor Harrington talked about sort of the steering wheel idea, that we have this steering wheel and we're sort of controlling our lives or whatever, and all these interruptions and distractions kind of get in the way, and we have this tendency to sort of want to put the foot on the gas and kind of blow past all those interruptions, all those speed bumps in life, and just sort of get on to the final destination. But the reality is that the sweet parts of life are all those interruptions. Those interruptions are actually opportunities. Amen? All right, stay with me. I probably go too deep already. All right. And so we all, from a very early age, have these hopes, have these expectations for our lives. And these hopes for us are different. If I can get the next slide. The hopes that we have for our lives are to have a life like maybe Ozzie and Harriet, maybe Leave It to Beaver, maybe the Huxtables from the Cosby Show, maybe the Brooks. That is a nice photo of them. Okay, I'm not sure what they're doing there. And then Snow White, you know, and her Prince Charming, or Cinderella. We have this sort of idea, this sort of idyllic picture of what life is going to be like, how we hope it's going to be. Sorry, Nick, you didn't make the cut this time either. Nick has been saying how he's been getting left out of the sermons. He's looking for a shout-out or whatever. So you got to follow it on Facebook. Get on Facebook, follow it. You'll see what's going on. Okay. But we all have these hopes for our lives. We all have these expectations on how life's supposed to be, right? And there is actually a professor who's out there who has come up with a formula for happiness. His name is Dr. Sarin. He's from UCLA, and he has created a formula in a book called Engineering Happiness. Do you want the formula? He says the formula is this. Take reality minus expectations equals happiness. So you want to find out how happy you're going to be? Take your reality minus your expectations. That equals happiness. And so what happens is we have this reality, how we hope life is going to be, and then our expectations are way up here, and then people feel bummed out. And so what people think, that if you follow a formula like that, is that I need to lower my expectations. Right? Nick, isn't that why you said you married your wife? No. See, now you're about to get in trouble. Now you're about to get in trouble, right? So Oh, that's why she lowered hers. Okay, we fixed it up. She lowered her expectations. She settled for Nick. There was Prince Charming that was in mind, and she lowered her expectations. Right? And so we get into this formula, and we're going to come back to that formula in a little bit, but we all have these images of what Christmas is going to look like, what the holidays are going to look like. And so we have these Christmas lists, right? And we're so busy to try and make sure every kid gets just the right toy. I got to pick out just the right gift for everybody. I need to get a roaring fire, and everybody's got to be sitting around like a Hallmark card, right? And everybody's sort of sitting in their right place, and if so-and-so doesn't make it, or so-and-so's late, or the turkey gets burned, or the pie doesn't taste quite right, or I left the cinnamon out of the cookies, or whatever happens, somehow Christmas is ruined. But that's not what Christmas is about. Because Christmas is not a what, it's a who. Christmas is not a what, it's a who. And no matter what happens, Jesus came. Amen? Amen. And so the first point I want to have for you, my wife says sometimes I put too many points out there, so I've tried to keep it simple. The first point that I've put out there is God interrupts plans. That's the first thing I want you to do. So if on the back of your bulletin you want to keep notes, the first point I have for you is God interrupts plans. Amen? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son." C.S. Lewis wrote this. He said, "The truth is, of course, that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life. The life God is sending one day by day, what one calls one's real life is a phantom of one's own imagination." In other words, what I think C.S. Lewis is saying is interruptions are not obstacles to our plan. They are opportunities for us to embrace God's plan. You guys get that? Interruptions are not obstacles to our plans, but they are opportunities for us to embrace God's plan. In other words, we have something figured out in our mind, where we're trying to go, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish, what we're trying to achieve, and God gets in the middle of that situation and tries to achieve something greater in us and through us. Does that make sense? So God is trying to do something big in your life. Amen? Okay. And so we see here that, let's start out with Mary here. God interrupted Mary's plans. And I know that we've read this story before. Probably most of you have heard this since you were very, very, very young age. But I don't know that we've really sort of digested it, that we've really unpacked it, and that we've really looked at it in its fullest sense. And so I just want to kind of hopefully contextualize the situation that Mary finds herself in. And so basically what happens is, you know, Mary has this idea of, you know, sort of the Leave It to Beaver type of life. You know, she wants to have this perfect Jewish family home situation going on there. And so she finds herself in this situation, and in verse 26, we're trying to figure out, like, what could go wrong, because it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee." So how many of you guys would like an angel to come see you with a personal message from God? Would that be all right? Yeah. Nobody? Right? So that sounds like a pretty good way to get the story started, right? An angel comes to bring a message from God to you, right? So what could be bad about that? And then it goes on and says, that she is a virgin. She's pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, our heroine. And the angel says, "Hey, he's got some good news for you. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Great news, right? You're highly favored, and the Lord is with you. Okay? So again, what could be wrong? And then Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So there's something about what he says that she gets troubled by, she gets upset by, and we have to read the story a little bit further. And he says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus.'" I want you to think about that just for a second. I just want you to think about that just for a second. So what is the problem here? The problem is that in those days, two families would get together and they would put they would put this agreement, they would make this announcement, and they would say that these two, this husband, this wife, these two folks were going to get together and they were going to get married, and it'd be about a year out, and they would make this announcement, and they'd say, hey, these two folks are going to get married, but they would stay in their parents' homes. And that's where they would go. And so then from there, what happens is, after this public announcement, there would be a year period of time before they would ever actually get to be married. And the point of that year period of time was to know that there had been no hanky-panky, no funny business, nothing going on. There had been no physical union. They weren't trying to cover anything up, right? This was completely legit. Good girl, good boy. They get together, they get married. Wonderful, right? But during this entire time, they're considered to be married. They're considered to be committed to one another. Amen? And so everything's going perfect for Mary, and then all of a sudden, as she's planning her wedding, you know, this angel shows up and says, you're going to get to carry God's child. And I think sometimes we forget the fact that she is in danger by this. Do we think about that? That she's actually in danger. And you're saying, what do you mean, Reverend? She's in danger because Joseph knows what he didn't do. Amen? And Mary knows what Joseph didn't do. Amen? And the punishment for adultery was stoning. I'm not sure everything that's involved with that. There's just something about the name stoning that doesn't sound pleasant to me. I know that it involves stones and throwing them at people, and I know that people die at the end. And so that sounds like a very unpleasant thing to happen. And so Mary is afraid. She's scared. God has interrupted her plans because she's planning. She's been a good girl. She's been a good Jewish girl her whole life. She's planning to be with her husband, right? Ladies, can you imagine what that would be like, that you need to go to your husband and say, hey, I'm pregnant. It's not your baby. Don't worry. It's God's baby. I mean, I think we always jump to the end of the story and we assume like everything's going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be fine. But Joseph does not assume that she's telling the truth, that it's going to be, that it's his baby. And as a matter of fact, an angel has to come and visit him as well to clean the story up. That's how it goes. Amen? So she is in danger. And so what he's trying to do is he's trying to be a good guy, and his plans have been interrupted as well. Because Joseph is planning to be with his wife and they're going to have a baby, and he thinks he's got this good Jewish girl who's following all the rules and all the laws and all this stuff. And they're going to have this great life together. And all of a sudden now she's knocked up. And what are people going to say about him? They're going to assume he's the daddy, right? And he's not a good guy. You know, he's a jerk for knocking her up. Amen? And so now all of his plans are messed up as well. So what he's planning on doing is just putting her away quietly. Right? Because if he makes a big point of it and he brings her to the magistrates, they're going to stone her. They're going to have her killed. So he decides he's going to put her away quietly. The angels come to him, and they intervene on his behalf and say, you know what? This is God's child. Don't divorce her. You stay with her, and you're going to raise this child. And so Joseph tries to do the right thing, but God interrupts his plans as well. God also interrupts the plans of others as well, like the shepherds, for example, right? We see the shepherds, and we always sort of think about the shepherds in the story. We always think about these guys that are just kind of sitting along, hanging along with their sheep or whatever. But they get interrupted. They just have a regular, peaceful evening going on, and God interrupts their plans as they're sitting on the side here. He also interrupts the plans of King Herod, the king in the area, and the leader. He has a huge problem now because he's planning on being the king of the Jews, but the problem is he is not going to be the king of the Jews. This baby is going to be the king of the Jews. And so you can't have two kings of the same people, so there's only one king. So this becomes the king. And he gets so upset, he gets so angry about this. When the wise men come to visit, he has all the kids under 2 years of age killed. We don't talk about that very often. When we think about that first Christmas and what it meant and what was involved and the kinds of sacrifices and the kinds of difficulty that were involved, that doesn't get captured here in this sort of Casablanca-type Christmas scene here. And obviously all the families of Bethlehem get interrupted as the soldiers start kicking in their doors and start taking their youngest children out of their homes. Their plans get interrupted. All the Jews who have this idea that these political leaders who have this idea that the current occupation is going to be overthrown and you know who the Messiah is going to be and what he's going to look like and how he's going to work, all of those plans are interrupted. And if I were to be honest about it, sometimes God interrupts our plans as well. Amen? Our hopes, our dreams, our anticipations. Life doesn't always go as we expect it to go. Sometimes we get stuck in traffic and we miss our appointment. Sometimes we don't get into the college that we want to go to. Sometimes, you know, we don't get the job that we expected, the promotion that we were hoping for. We don't get the girl or the guy of our dreams like in the Hallmark movie. Sometimes that doesn't happen, right? Or sometimes we get married and it's not exactly what we expected. The finances aren't perfect. The kids aren't perfect. No witnesses at all? Okay. Our partner isn't perfect. Don't say anything there. Our kids come down with the flu at the very time that we're supposed to have this wonderful vacation. Loved ones leave us. Friends and family die. Reality hits us in the face. Amen? Life doesn't go as we expect it to go. And so what do we do about that? God interrupts our plans. So there's some good news this morning. My second point for you is there's some good news. God's plans can be questioned. God's plans can be questioned. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody tell you this before, but it's very important. God's plans can be questioned. God wants to have a real relationship with you. God doesn't want to have one of these sort of fake, idyllic looking sort of relationships where you're kind of always at the surface and we're always sort of quoting hymns back and forth. Sometimes we get mad at God. Sometimes we don't understand God. Sometimes God confuses us. Sometimes God causes us to question Him when life doesn't go as we expect it to go. Can I get any witnesses? Sometimes that's the way it works. And we get mad at God, or we get frustrated with God, or we get confused by God. God wants you to take that to Him. God wants you to have that conversation with Him. We just got out of 40 days in the Word. And that's a great place to be. 40 days in God's Word. That's a great place to be. But after you've heard from God, speak back to Him. Have a conversation with Him. Tell Him about, you don't understand how this happened and that happened and all these different things that you weren't expecting to go the way. And ask God and listen to God's response. Listen to God's response. Because for my comfort, we've had way too many funerals here lately. Amen? And it's just been really, really hard. And it's really, really frustrating. And I'm like, God, what are you doing here? What's going on here? I don't understand it. And it's just been a really tough season. And so when that stuff happens, talk to God. Have a real relationship with God. You don't like something, let Him know. God can handle it. He wants to handle it. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding and everything." If there's something you want to know, if there's something you want to understand, talk to the Lord. See what He has to say to you. The third point that I have for you this morning is God explains His plans. So God explained His plans. So God does explain His plans. Think about this here. In Luke 1:35, it says, "The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.'" So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So Mary wants to know, how is this going to happen? A lot of times we forget that Mary's not that old. You know, we kind of have this image that she's, you know, sort of an urban woman of the mid-20s or something like that. Maybe sort of a bit of a metropolitan. But Mary, somewhere between 12 and 14, most biblical scholars agree. She is a young girl. You know, she's like my daughter's age. And we forget that. Mary is a young girl and she's scared. She's afraid. She understands what's at stake. She understands what's going to happen. And she doesn't say no, God. She doesn't say no, God. She just says, how, God? How, God? And so when you have difficult things, and God can ask us to do some pretty challenging things. Amen? I don't know if you've had that experience, but on more than one occasion, God has asked me to do some things that didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand them. I didn't understand why. I didn't understand how. I didn't understand why I had to go through that thing that I had to go through. I didn't understand why I had to talk to that person, why I had to befriend that person. I didn't understand how I had to give that thing away and accept this other thing and endure this other part. I didn't understand it. Amen. Has anybody ever been there? And so that's where we're at today, brothers and sisters, is that we're at this point, we have this difficult situation, and God explains to Mary what's going on. And this has to be probably one of the verses that we quote the most often when we're going through difficult situations. This has to be probably one of the most common. We love this verse, right? Like, if I don't know what else to say, if I don't know what other verse to do, I'm throwing this one at you. It's got to cover pretty much everything, right? I'm just going to throw this at you. For we know that all things work together for good for those who love Him, right? And who have been called according to His purpose. So if you lost your job, your wife left you, your dog died, right? Your kids are running out there in the world and doing all kinds of, you know, terrible things, right? You're broke. Whatever it is that's you're going on, you're having trouble in your marriage, right? You're sick, someone died, anything happens in your life, we throw this verse up here and we just say, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. And we think that somehow covers everything and sort of solves all our problems. But the problem I feel like is we don't look at the second part of that verse there, that second half. We like that first half and we kind of want to camp there and put our tent up there, but we don't get into that second half as much as we should. Who have been called according to His purpose. Brothers and sisters, God has a plan for your life. God has a big plan for your life. God wants to achieve something through you. You want to have a Merry Christmas? Mary's purpose in her life was to bear the Christ child. That was her purpose for her life. One of the things I say all the time, I say this to my family all the time, and I truly believe this, that if the why is big enough, the answer will always be yes. You have to have a reason. You have to have a purpose to achieve something in life. If I, you know, this weight loss journey that I've been on, you know, I had to have a reason. I had to have something behind it that motivated, that pushed me when I didn't feel like doing the right thing, that I would continue to do the right thing anyways. When I got off course, when I got off track, when all those things happened, I had to have something to push me. And so, you need to spend some time talking to the Lord and asking the Lord, what is my purpose? What is the thing that I'm trying to, that you're trying to accomplish through me, God? What is the thing that you're trying to achieve in my life? Amen? Can we work on that? Get into the second half of the verse. We got the first half down. Let's get to the second half. Amen? Wonderful, wonderful. I won't be before you much longer. We're getting here. Okay. The last point that I want to share with you is that God's plans must be submitted to. God's plans must be submitted to. And I think a lot of times we take this sort of thing for granted. We kind of, when we read this story, we don't really think about the fact that Mary had some choices here. We don't really think about the fact that Mary could have said, no, thank you, Lord. I'll pass, God. And even though the reality is, we know that people say no thank you God all the time. Is that right? I mean, God came to this earth, right? Died for the sins of all of these people, and there are plenty of people every single day who say, no thank you, I'll pass. Right? I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere where you have seen that God has a clear plan for somebody's life, and they just completely ignore it. That has to be one of the most frustrating things to be on the outside and watch, whether it's a child or a friend or somebody that you just know that they've just been truly gifted by God. God's hand is upon them and they just completely refuse to submit to God's will for their life. Anybody ever experienced that? Okay, okay. And it's a hard, hard thing to watch. It's a hard thing to do. But we see here that Mary responds. Mary gives consent. Mary agrees to what God wants to do in her life. And that's how we birth the expected. We have to relax and allow it to come out. And so here it goes. It says, she says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. And that's in Luke 1:38. Before I leave you, I want to leave you with a couple of application steps, and I want to come back to that formula for happiness. Okay, so application step number one. If you want to give birth to the unexpected during this upcoming Christmas season, this holiday season, number one, the first thing you need to do is you need to be open for detours. You need to be open for detours. Expect detours. Expect your GPS to say recalculating a lot on your spiritual journey. Amen? Can anybody be honest about that? That we know the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, but our spiritual journey does not look like this. Is that right? There are times where we get off path, that we get off course, and we go around, and we have to come around this way, and we have to go back through this way, and we have to go pace to place, just to get back to this spot right here. Expect detours along your journey. Mary and Joseph had to have some detours. They weren't allowed to stay where they had to stay at. They had to actually leave and go to Egypt because, like we talked about before, King Herod was hunting down all the children. You have to be open to detours. I know that it seems like the quickest, most efficient way might be to go from here to here, but sometimes God says go this way, even though it seems like you should go this way. Amen? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is... Okay. Second step. Be willing to do what God tells me to do. Be willing to do what God tells you to do. That's the second step. When God says go, I simply need to go. That's pretty simple, right? But it's probably one of the most complicated things out there. That God will tell me to go somewhere. God will tell me to do something. And God, what do you mean by this? What are you trying to say? I'm saying read your Bible every day. What is complicated about that, right? He'll say something like that that's super, super obvious. I want you to go talk to that guy over there from work who nobody talks to. What do you mean I need to talk to him? Why? And we have these whole negotiations and stuff like that. But sometimes the things that God tells us, we have all these complicated questions, but the answers are really quite simple. When God says go, we just need to go. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. I like that verse. Step number 3. Be willing to give God what He tells you to give. Be willing to give God what He tells you to give. And this is something that really sort of gets hung up for us. And I think that when people hear something like that, they think that I'm saying, you know, well, the church is always about money, or the church is always about this, or church is always about that. But the reality is, the church isn't hung up on stuff, we are. Is that right? I mean, everything that we think about what it takes to make Christmas special always seems to involve money. Always seems to involve buying something or putting one more present under the tree or baking that perfect cake or that pie or finally getting that 80-inch TV that I've been, you know, sort of deserving all these years. You know, I mean, squinting at a 45-inch TV. What am I, a caveman or something? You know, I mean, so, you know, when you start thinking about it, it's like that one more thing. You know, I watch all those Lexus commercials, and apparently what I need to do is give my wife a big Lexus with a big bow on it, and that'll make Christmas special, and everybody will be a Christmas to remember, right? So we have all these stuff, but God is asking us to give stuff to Him, and God always does better with my stuff than I ever do. Amen? And so whatever you have available, and more than likely He's not going to ask to borrow your womb. So that is the good news, right? He's not going to ask you to borrow your womb. Okay, amen. So when we are expecting the unexpected, we need to expect to give unexpectedly as well. Number 4, be ready for opposition. Be ready for opposition. And this is a funny thing that, you know, we don't often talk about this a lot in the church, and I guess it would hurt our sort of our growth campaign, our marketing practice to, you know, to bring people in and have a slogan on the ceiling saying expect opposition. I guess that's not the best way to sort of pack the church out. But the reality is that when God asks us to do things, we should expect that there will be opposition. When God asks us to do something, we should expect there will be opposition. There should at least be one amen. And so it says here, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. And I love this quote. I love this quote here. I don't know. I didn't know where else to put it, so I just put it here, but I came across it. It said, expecting the world to treat you fairly because you are a good person is like expecting a bull not to attack you because you're a vegetarian. I don't know. I just loved it. I don't know. I love it. I think he's saying it's not going to happen. Okay, so number five, the fifth and final step I have for you is be looking for God to come through unexpectedly. Be looking for God to come through unexpectedly. We just lit the Advent candle of hope, the Advent candle of expectation. Be looking for God. Be expecting God. Think about that for a moment. And Psalms 91, 3 and 4, I like this verse really a lot as well. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Psalm 91, verse 3 and 4. What I love about God is God will always come through. God will always accomplish what he says he's going to accomplish. He's going to achieve everything that he says he's going to achieve. And I have this last verse that I want to leave with you guys. Again, we just did this 40 Days in the Word campaign, and we just had a wonderful celebration just last Sunday. And this verse right here just really sort of stuck out in me. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and of truth. John 1:14. And again, like I said before, Christmas is not a what, it's a who. And so going back to what I was saying earlier about this formula for happiness, this Dr. Sarin who came up with it and said, basically it's reality minus expectations equals happiness. Does that make sense? So here's the reality, folks. The reality for you as a child of God is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The expectations are that it's not about you. It's a free gift from God. God has no expectations for you as far as you getting saved. He has no expectations. There's nothing that you have to do. It's a free gift that comes from him. And so when you take the reality of all that God is and all the expectations that he has for you covered with grace, you get this happiness that can never, no matter what circumstance you face, no matter what difficulties you face, no matter what challenge you face, can never be stopped, can never be interrupted, can never be stopped, ever. And that's just awesome to me. And as you think about this Christmas season, I want to invite you to have a Merry Christmas. I want you to invite God to interrupt you this upcoming season. Get out of the Christmas as usual type of thing and listen to what God is saying. Is God asking you to invite somebody to church during the season, but you know, you're kind of worried maybe they're going to say no or something like that? Is God inviting you to, you know, maybe show some kindness to someone during this holiday season that you normally wouldn't? How is God interrupting you this upcoming holiday season and making it about this and less about that idyllic thing over there? Amen?